as we are enjoying this SEC quarterback matchup on TV, as you know,
I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah,
pick
earlier. I don't know if you saw. It may have been before we flipped it on. But Ole Miss quarterback Manning and clearly UGA Bulldog Matt Stafford are airing it out here in what looks to be a no defense game.
Yes, yes.
But we're here to talk about the SEC. I'm Jeremy York, joined once again by Mr. Joe Pym. How are we doing?
Hey, so far so good. Enjoying this nice weather for once.
Exactly. It has a lot to do with the fan, though.
Yeah.
The fan makes it feel nice.
One lack of thunderstorms the last couple times I've been here.
That, too.
We had to run for cover.
Yeah.
So.
It's first thing of lightning, you're going to hear us run.
Yes,
but,
certainly.
But we are enjoying the open deck here at the studio. They have some nice facilities sometimes.
Heck yeah.
At
good
least
drinks,
they do.
Good
yeah.
food.
But didn't get a chance to talk with you guys last week. Conflicts, and it was just hard to get airtime. We have that all ironed out. We were able to pull some favors, and we're back this week. We're going to try to catch you up. Pretty much, we can go ahead and we'll do kind of a team-by-team, but not necessarily. For the most part, we'll go ahead and say Vandy's 0-2. Okay. Arkansas's 1-1. Okay. South Carolina losing that game.
Yeah. I want to say I did miss that, but it's more a part of me being pessimistic Georgia fan, so I want to give Spurrier all the credit, and I really have to give him more credit for the way his post-game press conference went. Walking in and saying, hey, how about that 3-4 defense?
Is that what he said?
Yeah. That's
funny.
First thing, and he said, you know what, we could have played a 6-6 and we wouldn't have stopped it.
Yeah.
So, and they've actually made some wholesale changes. I don't know they pulled totally away from the 3-4.
I heard they tried to see if Clowney had any eligibility.
Yeah, but you know, he kind of messed his knee up, so
yeah.
That's not going to work out.
In a hole,
yes,
supposedly. But you know, the South Carolina loss. A lot of people are like, man, I can't believe they lost that game. But let's go to the flip side of that. Texas A&M. Wow.
Yeah, and it's starting to look like it's a system, not really the players.
Exactly.
It's starting to look someone. I won't use the word genius, but the guy knows his offense. He did it at Houston, and that's why they brought him into A&M. And you know, the more we see of Johnny Football,
yes,
I think the more we see that he is a product of a system. He's got wheels.
Well, it could be. I don't want to compare these two quarterbacks as far as stats or playability or anything, but it's almost a Tebow thing,
or someone who is playing. Robert Griffin III.
Exactly. Baylor has a system. Oregon has a system.
Yes.
That's, you know, once again, another day, another dollar, another show on talking Oregon or Pac-10, Pac-12, but very much so. You can watch these kinds of schools. Florida used to be very good at turning them out. USC has five or six guys that are still quarterbacks in the league. You know, now you're starting to look. Maybe Texas A&M is the next powerhouse as far as that.
Well, even Herb today was talking about, you know, Chris Leak.
Yes.
Great in college. Tebow, great in college.
Yeah.
They get to the pros, they just ain't got it. I mean, there's a certain something. The windows are smaller in the pros, but
look at Brady Quinn.
Yeah.
I think if Charlie Weiss stayed there longer, I think we would have saw 3, 4, 5 quarterbacks come out of there. He's good with quarterbacks.
Yeah, he is, but I think we might be getting a little away from the point is that I think A&M, it's a system. I don't think it's a fluke. Now, defensively, they're still a sieve, but they realize that, and I think their offense is a part of their defense. That's the reason why they play like that. They were rotating guys.
Yeah,
you know, they probably played 8 defensive linemen in that game,
which is kind of starting to become the norm for the successful teams.
Yes, certainly.
It's about fresh bodies more than it is talent.
Yeah, and you know, you might,
and these guys are talented. It's just the fresher players are usually going to make the play.
Oh yeah, you come out of Texas high school, you're already a step above a lot of folks.
Right.
So yeah, A&M, they certainly impressed. I mean, we can't put any weight behind what they did to Lamar this week. I mean, I know it was a 70-point victory.
You know, like I've said before, there's no preseason in the college.
Yeah.
So the first couple weeks are typically kind of your let's figure stuff out. You know, in Georgia's case, oddly enough, they played two credible teams in their first two games. But, you know, as far as the A&M, I think they're a system. I think they're a good system.
Yes.
Alabama's a system.
Yes.
LSU's a system.
Right.
I mean, we'll have to see if Ole Miss is. I mean, they're back.
They are back.
Bo Wallace, I was able to catch about half of his game.
Yeah.
It wasn't his best half.
He's got a good set of hair, though.
He does. He's probably got the prettiest hair in the West, at least.
Oh, certainly.
I don't know. I feel like there was a... I can't think if it was Florida or Missouri. I saw a clip. One kid, he's got pretty hair.
Well, Deus has got a head of hair on Georgia.
Could have been.
He's got a
head. Can't remember who it was.
So, back to the system.
Yes.
Alabama, system-based team.
Yes.
We're also can dovetail that with when their players go to the NFL.
Right.
Not much success.
It's true.
You got McElroy on the SEC network.
Yeah.
McCarron, he's laid up with that honey like he should be. I don't know what else he's doing.
I think he's fourth on that depth chart. I didn't even think he was third.
I don't think he's in the league.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he was a Bengal. He's behind the red rifle.
Oh, he is behind the red rifle. Yeah.
Which is the funniest nickname. That's why I like saying it.
I always overlook Andy Dalton.
You can't forget the ginger.
Alabama.
Yeah.
If you have two quarterbacks,
now,
you have no quarterback.
Now, I can say Mark Ingram, Eddie Lacy, Julio Jones.
Okay.
I mean, and that's only three, but those are three guys who are they've been marred with injuries a little bit. They've all been dinged up.
They don't have that deer hunter spray. Eddie Lacy should be a Falcon. That was poor management by TD.
It was.
He should be a Falcon.
He should be.
Mark Ingram?
He's emerging. Now, he's the top back for the Saints, but he's emerging.
That's kind of by default, though.
Yeah, because Pierre Thomas is kind of over the hump already.
Well, you saw Pierre Thomas, what he did. Who did he do that to yesterday? OC?
Yeah.
Mark Ingram is not making any moves like that.
No.
That dude is straight ahead.
But, you know, going back to it, yeah, Alabama is a system. Nick Saban builds a system. I mean, he did the same thing at LSU before he went to Alabama.
Yes, and he knows how to hide his players' weaknesses and exploit their strengths.
Exactly.
So it goes coaching. So Alabama's in it.
Yeah.
We know they have to play A&M, so that's already shaping up to be a heck of a game.
Yeah.
Auburn, they're turning into a system as well. I think they found an arm they didn't know that they had.
And it's not named Marshall.
No, we both agreed that Nick Marshall was not going to be the arm. He might have smoked himself onto the bench. Who knows? He could get moved running back. I don't know. I don't really follow Auburn a lot. I don't like them.
Tight end
personally. I don't like Auburn fans. I can't stand the sight of them. They cheat. They're notorious for cheating. I wish Georgia would cheat more, but they don't.
Yeah,
so I'll talk junk about
true.
People who do cheat.
Auburn kind of has become the SEC version of Australia.
Yes.
Pretty much where all the criminals go.
Yes. They, dance with who brung you.
I mean, but, Australia ended up turning that into a country, so, you know, more power to them. Auburn's turned it into at least one title, so, you know, more power to them.
Yeah, well, that was a... $250,000 for a national championship. I think
that's pretty cheap.
I think a lot of Georgia fans would pony up for that as well.
That's pretty cheap.
So Auburn's right there at it. It's kind of hard to gauge because week one, everybody in the West, they had competition.
Yes.
Week two, it was the SEC West versus Sisters of the Poor. No offense to Sisters of the Poor.
Right.
But there was no way to get a better feel for where these teams are. Now, I know that those are money grabs and whatnot, but LSU, I'm not any more impressed with what they did this week than I was what they did to Wisconsin.
It's true.
They should have lost to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
But LSU is LSU, and Les Miles finds a way to beat non-conference opponents. I think he's 36-0.
I thought there was one good game, but I think I was thinking last week.
I was thinking
this one.
36-0 against non-conference opponents. At LSU.
That's a stagger.
That's per good. Now, Mark Richt, I'll give him his due. He's 37-1. The one loss being to Georgia Tech when they were up 17 at the half.
I remember that game.
So they found a way to lose that. It was Fish Fry's first year.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, I mean, they put them on the schedule. You got to go out and beat them. Arkansas, we addressed. We know where they are.
Right.
They might be somewhat more competitive than they were in the past. Mississippi State.
I mean, They're playing pretty good. Now, we can't really count this week because, they blew out an absolute, I didn't even know they were at college.
Right.
But, they're still playing good. That's they're still playing schedule. Solid.
Yeah. And, old Uncle Eddie coaching the team.
Yeah.
He, I don't know if you saw that. But that actually has, so I'll
all right.
show it to you. Christmas vacation.
Okay. I know Santa.
Dan Mullen.
Okay.
Someone tweeted, said he's Uncle Eddie. So
that guy's hilarious.
Yeah, but nonetheless,
yeah.
Uncle Eddie and Hugh Freeze at Ole Miss. I think those guys are a wash.
That's a cool name. He should be a Batman villain.
They're just I know, chill. Those two teams are pretty much a wash to me.
Yeah, I do want to see more of Mississippi State, and luckily enough, I have some in-laws that I'll be seeing in the next couple weeks that actually live with, I can seriously walk out their back door and throw a rock and hit Mississippi State. One of them is actually a professor there. Both their grandkids went there.
Yeah.
So, it'll be cool to get to kind of see where they're at. They go to a bunch of games and stuff anyway and say, hey, what does the team look like?
Right.
And they'll be able to give me a more in-depth thing because they see these kids.
I think those teams are in good shape and they're in the right direction.
Yeah.
And if they were in the East, they could probably make some noise.
It could.
But in the West, man, you got too much to overcome. I mean, Bama, A&M, Auburn, and LSU. I mean, what in the world?
And Ole Miss could sneak up in there. Who knows?
Yeah. And I am hearing rumbles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these are rumbles I don't agree with. That the Ole Miss-Alabama game is going to be a big deal. A lot of people are giving Ole Miss more than a puncher's chance to win that game. And if they do that,
given when that game happens, we'll have to see.
Yeah, like I said, if they do that, then I'll stop saying they're back with sarcasm in my voice.
I just like saying they're back.
Well, they're back. They were 6-6 last year. They're back.
Yeah, they're back.
But, these are a couple teams we haven't got a chance to talk about this
year. True.
So,
well, I think we had the chance, but we kind of broke
it
over.
We didn't take the chance.
Yeah, we didn't take the chance because we didn't know that it would be such a logjam that it is in the West right now.
Yeah.
Well, besides Arkansas, everybody's undefeated.
Yeah, we know where Arkansas is going to end up, and
right.
Maybe
probably close to where they're at right now.
Yes. Good.
But
very
hey,
close.
You know what? Didn't AP or somebody go there? Somebody comes from Arkansas.
McFadden.
Good. McFadden.
Yeah.
And
Felix Jones.
And Ryan Mallett.
Ryan Mallett
just got traded.
New Texan.
Yes.
I kind of saw, I think that was a little late for me.
Yeah.
I thought that would happen as soon as O'Brien went there.
Me too. But regardless, looking at the West, how do you kind of see this shaping out right now?
Well, we always know it comes down to LSU-Alabama. That's pretty much the game.
Until proven otherwise.
Well, both of those schools got to play A&M. I'm not an expert on the schedule.
I doubt A&M's going to win at least one of those.
I don't know that A&M has both those teams on the road, but I also doubt they have them both at home.
Yeah, I believe, let's see. What year was it? Was it 2 years ago that Manziel beat Alabama?
Yeah.
And that was
in Alabama, I think.
In Alabama. So if they're flip-flopping every other year, then it's in Tuscaloosa this year.
Yeah, so if A&M can hold serve and just go 1-1 in those two games,
yeah,
then they're right there.
Yeah. Because one loss will probably get you into the title game.
Oh, yeah. It also depends on who you beat.
Right. I mean, if your one loss is LSU and you beat Alabama,
yeah,
then, there's a good shot you're in. Sorry for the silence. Megatron's put on another show.
Yeah, it's something else. I was really talking about the throw, too.
Oh.
Stafford made from his... He decided to turn around.
Who was that college trick shot guy years ago that did all the YouTube videos? Like, he would throw from, upside down in a helicopter or something like that.
Yes.
That's what Matt Stafford looks like right now.
Exactly.
The odd thing is he's making them. So.
His technique lacks a little certain je ne sais quoi.
But, if you're going to win the West, you're going to have to go through Alabama or LSU or both. A&M, the way they look right now, could.
Oh, certainly. And, these teams, also Alabama and LSU, Florida's, they got to play Florida.
Florida could be spoiler here.
We don't know what Florida has yet. They decided to take week one off.
Yeah, that's true.
And Eastern Michigan.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
You can't really get any
gauge
off of that.
It's about the fourth or fifth best team in Michigan. So.
Yeah, so.
Even given this weekend.
But Florida does have to play those. They have to play Florida. So,
yeah.
I mean, you go out east and lose a game, that it's still a conference loss. And
it is.
You might be put right behind the eight ball, but you have to beat A&M.
But
so.
I mean, we don't know what Auburn's doing and what Ole Miss is doing, and I love to say this disclaimer anyway. You know, we're not super high on anybody right now.
No.
But it's only been 2 weeks.
Right.
I tell the same people about the pro level. It's give it 3 games.
Yeah,
when your team has played 3 games, you can kind of get a feel for where they're going to be. You know, Texas A&M seems like they're doing really well. They dominated the first week. They just massacred the second week. But, I mean, who do they play this week? They play They do. They play Rice.
Oh, I knew that.
We should know that. I don't know why we don't know that.
Another Texas powerhouse.
Yeah. But, you know, they play against Rice. Should they beat Rice? Yeah, they should.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they will. That's why we tune in. And
right.
And I'm not saying they're going to lose this game. In no way am I saying Texas A&M is an awful team or nothing like that. But, you know, a lot of people said, well, Alabama didn't play up to par in week one, but they still won. So, yeah, they still
right.
won. That's what counts.
Right.
They got to figure things out. Alabama's got their system down. When they get the right people
right.
into the right seats on the right bus, they're going to start rolling again.
And, you know, we wait all year for this sport to start.
Yes.
As soon as it ends, we're like, damn, when's football season coming
yeah,
back?
Exactly.
And so we want to go ahead and crown everybody week one.
Yeah.
And it's over. This is how it
yeah.
is. I'm not even going to watch another game. It's
well, and if we did that, if we said, you know, after week one, or hell, even after week two, you know, who would meet right now in the SEC game if we picked it? I mean, probably A&M and Georgia. That's the two strongest teams.
Not by the standings.
Not by the standings.
Ole Miss and Kentucky.
But I said if we picked it.
Yeah.
If we look at this thing, it'd be Ole Miss and Kentucky. For some reason, they win the tiebreaker with, like, I don't know, their spelling of their name or something. I don't know how they're on top.
And Vegas would, they'd owe some people some money.
Oof.
I don't think a lot of people would bet on that, yes.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the odds on that.
I'd like to see the spread, and I feel like Kentucky's going to cover.
They do have a, I don't know his name, but number one on that defense was
yeah.
making some plays. Now, I'm sure that he played in Georgia, and Kentucky just went and got him, but he was certainly making some plays. So, we see right here, got a good game this weekend coming up.
Yes.
Tennessee, Oklahoma.
I actually give Tennessee a little bit of a chance. I don't think they're going to win, but I think they're gonna stay in there.
Ah, but the circle of life. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're going to look at me like I'm an idiot. But they do the circle of life. I'll send you the link
okay.
after the show. That's something else. It's only in Tennessee. Nonetheless, Tennessee, they really...
Tennessee ain't been bad.
They're right where we thought they would be.
Yeah.
You know, 500... Maybe 7-5.
Right.
Right around there. If they didn't have to go to Norman, I'd give them a lot better chance.
Right.
If it was in Knoxville, they'd have more than a puncher's chance.
Right.
They're going to Oklahoma. And, you know, a lot of these guys are, they're playing these good out-of-conference games.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't benefit, I really don't see the point in it now.
Not in Tennessee's case, not for sure, no.
Well, in the SEC, if you win the conference, you're in.
Right.
So your game against Oklahoma can do nothing but hurt you.
Right.
They don't need the money.
No.
They're
going to need a school.
They'd sit 110,000.
Right.
No matter where the heck they were. But Tennessee is dangerous. They should have beat Georgia last year.
They had
them beat. You know, Florida last year was a close game.
Yes.
And we covered that whenever we did our season preview for them. So, I really don't... My opinion has not changed on Tennessee. I'm still thinking 7-5 with some close losses and some close victories.
Yeah, it's probably looking that way. And it's hard to imagine that, especially Tennessee fans that are probably going to send us hate mail and tweets right now. But
I don't think we've said anything that's not true, though.
It's true. They probably just don't want to hear it. And that's fine. when you're looking at the rest of the East, another team that we really didn't talk about in the preseason was Missouri.
No.
I mean, you have to look, and Missouri and Texas A&M are the two newest teams of this conference. Just,
yes.
What, 2 years ago that they come in? This is their third season?
This is their third season.
And every year, they're in the mix.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of people thought they're just going to be feeder teams. You know, they're going to kind of be at the bottom and just kind of hang out and then just get
right.
SEC TV
right.
rights and stuff. No, these guys are competing every year.
Yes, and, you know, Missouri does, they have some pace to them.
Yes.
On offense. They have a pace. And that, the game in Missouri against Georgia, that's going to be big.
Yeah.
For the East and for the conference.
Definitely so. I mean, you know, we did say Kentucky's on top as well.
Yes.
I think they just list them. It's nothing personal, Kentucky. I don't understand. I guess they're in alphabetical here, but they're not on the other graphic we're looking at.
Yeah, I don't understand.
Which is
that.
What throws me off.
Is it color coded? Like the Homeland Security thing? What is it?
You know, it could be. The orange level and
the terror alert level.
Yeah. We're in blue on the East End.
Yes.
It's coming up blue, so baby on board, right?
Yes.
Coming up blue.
So
glad somebody got that one.
Oh, I know.
The rest of the studio is staring blank stares at us right now.
I remember the song. Remember the Simpsons sang it. Okay. That was their barbershop quartet.
Yeah.
Oh, we could go back on that.
Oh, man. I feel like we'd lose half our audience if we start talking old school Simpsons.
Well, you know.
But,
Kentucky's Kentucky.
Yeah.
That's no analysis right there.
No, we still got them about the same spot we did Tennessee.
They're not lighting the world on fire. I still think Stoops is going to be gone after this year. Not that he is going to get fired.
I think he leaves from somewhere.
Yeah, something's going to open up. I mean, you know, Kentucky's not a destination.
Yeah, exactly.
I really don't know why they got rid of Joker Phillips. Hell, bring back Hal Mummy. I mean, what's the difference?
Yeah.
You're still Kentucky.
Exactly. You know, going back through the thing, we brushed over Florida before, but, you know.
That's a dangerous thing.
I've talked to so many South Carolina fans lately. And by so many, probably a good handful that I've ran into various places
right.
on the internet and just running into them places. And they're so worried about this team. And I said, why are you worried about this team? You went ahead and got your loss out of the way.
Yeah.
You're fine. Spurrier's going to get them. They're already back on track. They're already going to start rolling again. The only thing you should feel down about is that, one, two, three, four, five other teams in the East have better records than you do.
Right.
That's the only thing you should slowly be worried about, but...
We
know Florida and Tennessee are going to be middle of the pack. We know Kentucky's going to probably be down there too. So really, as long as you can stay ahead of Georgia and Missouri, you should be able to take that.
Yeah,
dive.
And like you're saying, I mean, South Carolina has to play all those teams they're behind
right.
anyway. So that'll take care of itself. I don't know that I could say Florida's going to be middle of the pack.
It's true.
They recruit in Florida.
Yeah.
Probably the second or third best recruiting grounds in the country
right.
for talent. So until they stink, I can't be sure that they stink.
I mean,
now I keep hearing that Roper is gone in there and it's changed the world. Hey, okay. I pay attention to Florida. I don't follow them closely.
Right.
I don't know what Driscoll had for breakfast. Really don't care. I hear he's doing great in practice though.
I got a lot of friends that are Gator fans and that live all down in the different Florida regions. You know, I'll reach out to them and see if they're seeing something that we're not seeing on tape.
Yeah, see, the thing that concerns me about Florida, as if I was going to be a Florida fan, but as an analyst, I keep hearing that Driscoll's doing great in practice. Completing 75% of the pass. Really got a firm grip on the offense.
In practice.
Hey, you can't get hit in practice. Muschamp will rip someone's head off if they hit him. And they decided not to play Idaho.
Yeah.
They pay $1 million not to play that game. No, I don't think Idaho would have a chance.
And I'm not saying that Florida's running scared here, but doesn't Florida need all the wins they can get?
Well, yeah, they do, but they also didn't want to risk not having the bye week before the cocktail party.
It's true.
And I understand that would have taken that away if they made the game up, but...
I mean, but what happens if you get to the end of this, and because Missouri played one more game than you did, they have a better record.
Yeah.
You know?
It
could also work in their favor, where playing one less game means maybe they had one less loss, or the percentage works out better.
Yeah. It's kind of close-minded, and
you know, they're 10-1 instead of 11-1, and 10-1 is a little bit better record.
Yeah. So South Carolina.
Yes. No need to panic.
It's a little early, but this is their season this week.
Yeah.
They lose to Georgia. They're 3 games behind.
Yep.
And the reason why I say that is because Georgia would have to lose 3
for them to pass them.
Yes.
Right. Now, all that would be thrown out the window if any of these other teams that are up there have better records.
Right.
It wouldn't matter if Georgia and South Carolina had the same record or South Carolina was 1 game better if Kentucky's 2 games better than both of them.
Yeah. Or like last year when Missouri did it.
Right.
Because South Carolina laid egg against Tennessee.
You know, never say never, but I don't see Vandy at the top of the division yet.
Oh, no.
They're starting to put some stuff together. Now, they've actually... I looked a little bit into this because people are making fun of them. I'm like, Vandy is not as bad as people think they are.
Oh, I don't know.
They're not... Well, not as bad as the people they were saying. But they're realizing that the SEC is all about the system, as
yeah.
we've spent the last 25 minutes talking about.
Yeah.
Everybody's setting up these systems. Well, Vandy's starting to do that. Now, as you set up the system, now you can start to recruit players based off the system instead of just going, who wants to come to Vandy?
Yeah, but
because it doesn't work for Georgia Tech,
yeah.
It doesn't work for Vandy.
I think that Mason might have submarined his whole coaching career with what he did this weekend with that quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, that's their guy, and he benches him.
Yeah.
And now I'm hearing that he's lost the team.
That's usually a sure sign that you need to go and pack your stuff.
Well, yeah, and you know, Mason, I never really understood. I know he had a great run at Stanford,
mm-hmm.
but I liked him in the NFL. You know what he didn't play in the NFL? It was defense. And now all I hear is he's a defensive coach. He's a defensive coach. He's a defensive coach.
Did he, like, read a book by Rob Ryan or something?
I don't know where that came from, but... I don't mind Vandy. I don't like my team losing to him. I don't, you know, the better Vandy does, if they're undefeated when Georgia plays them, that's better for Georgia. So
right.
that's the way I want to
Well, and, you know, the old joke about Vandy is the only reason they're in the SEC is to pad the GPA.
Well, yeah.
Which is fine. Vandy can keep being the smart school, but at the same time, as they start putting these things together, maybe in the next couple years, it could be 5-6 years, but maybe in the next 2-3 years, they start to really put it together and start playing spoiler.
Yes.
Right now, spoiler is the best they can do.
Right. Well, I think they've reached their zenith with James Franklin.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they've been to 7 bowl games in the school's history, and 3 of the past 3 years they've been to a bowl game.
Hey.
So in 120 years, they went to 4, and then the past 3 years, they've been to 3.
You get an applause.
Well, yeah. So Franklin brought them to their zenith, and I don't really disparage him for leaving. I mean, you can't say no to Penn State. I mean, come on.
Right.
Especially where they were.
Right.
And they got a lot of stuff reversed today, too. I don't know if you heard. A lot of their sanctions got flipped.
Good for them.
And, you know, those guys didn't bless anybody. Why the hell are they
exactly.
at price?
I mean, because all the people that knew about it are gone. None of them are there anymore.
Dead or in jail.
Yeah.
I mean, that might be a terrible way to put it.
But, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so South Carolina, everything's on the line this week. I'm making a big deal out of it because I'm pumped up about it.
Is that the only SEC-SEC matchup?
I don't think so.
No, Kentucky-Florida.
Yes.
And I think that is the only one.
We got A&M and Rice. Alabama.
Now, Arkansas is playing against Texas Tech. Don't sleep on that one.
They're going to get spanked.
But, you know, just for the sake of doing it, I like to do it on the other shows as well.
Alabama, Southern Miss.
Even though I know where your normal allegiance lies, who you got in Georgia, South Carolina?
Well, I'm going to put it this way. 2 weeks ago, I would have picked South Carolina.
I would agree with that.
I got to go with Georgia. They're probably the second hottest team in the country right now. Now, it's pretty hard to give them that label when they've only played 1 game.
But people are still talking about what they did in week 1.
Right. But when you look at that last 30 minutes of what happened, that's, as a fan, and I've watched every play every year.
I had to periodically keep changing the channel, I thought I was playing Madden.
Right. I watch every play every year. And Georgia, I haven't even seen this, but I heard he was a jerk. And Georgia doesn't, they haven't made defensive adjustments at halftime.
No.
Not for the past, since Van Gorder was there.
Yeah, I bet a long time.
And just to see them do that, because they were in the picture. The big plays that happened in the first half, the Bulldogs were at least in the picture. Last year, it was similar to that Calvin Johnson thought I was saying
right
to earlier. Ew. Before the snap happened, all the defensive backs had their hands in the air looking at each other. But at least when they were giving up these big plays in the first half, they were in the picture. Now when Watson came in and threw that pass, that touchdown pass right over right over Ramique's ear.
Yeah.
He was there. Now he's a middle linebacker covering receiver. I get why he didn't spin his head.
Right.
I know why he didn't spin his head around and make the play, but he was there.
Right.
And then when you go to the second half, they have not played like that in a long time. 15 yards in the second half, one first down.
Wow.
Negative 24 yards in the fourth quarter.
Wow.
Leonard Floyd came to play. Amarlo Herrera came to play.
Well, I mean, as far as Georgia, and it's not to just jump on Georgia or anything, just happen to be talking about because of this game. For the first time in many years, at least that I can remember, and I'll be the first to admit, I haven't watched all the Georgia games in the last few years.
Right.
Been hard to keep up with a lot of different teams, but they actually not only had a pass rush, but they had a dominant pass rusher.
Yep.
A guy who by himself was doing well enough, and then everybody else played too.
Right.
It's been a long time since you could point and go, you know, there's our star.
Not since
and
Jarvis.
Right.
Since Jarvis. I mean, Jarvis, but when he came along, he was the first in a long, long time.
Yeah. I mean, suddenly they had a pass rush, and I'm like, I'm excited to see this. They finally can put pressure on somebody.
And then you had the walk-on Davis with the play. I know we spoke about him before the season started.
Yep.
Hell, I mean, I think they had three interceptions all of last year.
Yeah.
Georgia did.
I think so.
And, I mean, that helped turn it. You got Colin Barber putting him in the coffin corner.
Yeah.
That punt in the first quarter flipped that game around.
It did. And that's why he's one of the best in the...
Clemson was about to put it to him, and he I don't know the exact yardage. It was over 50.
Yeah.
And it was not returned well.
You couldn't have took a jetpack and dropped that ball any better.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the things I like to harp on is special teams, and I've got to give it to 81 on the punt returns.
Yes.
He caught every one of them, and he fell forward.
Yep.
Last year, they were at 2.9 per return. He didn't set the world on fire.
No.
But he caught the ball. They didn't lose yardage.
Exactly.
And he fell forward. He was probably 7 or 8 yards per return.
Exactly.
Which is great.
Yeah. For a punt return, you can't even get that in the pros. That's great.
Right, yeah. I mean, Hudson Mason did his thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to call it a game manager. He didn't have to do anything.
Right.
And his speedsters weren't on the field.
Right. I mean, for the most part, all he's got to do is get his feet wet.
Yes.
This was the first true game that he was the starter.
Yeah.
He wasn't filling in because the starter was out.
Right.
They looked at him, handed him the keys, and went, it's yours.
Georgie, 3 minutes now? We haven't mentioned Todd. We're talking about his other problems.
But this is how good things are going.
Yes.
That by the time we get around to arguably one of the most just explosive players this year.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I mean, 299 overall, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't know why they're cheating him on the kick return, calling it 100 yards.
Yeah.
It was 105.
Yeah, he was in the end zone when he caught that.
Yes, I don't understand. I don't know if that's something or
I don't know.
Maybe I'm just dumb. But
and not just him. Even when Gurley wasn't in, I mean, because there'll be some weeks we're going to continue to go on about Gurley.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, even when he wasn't in, Marshall's the other one?
Marshall.
Marshall's the number 2,
yeah,
right? Marshall had some pretty good runs. As you like to say, they weren't necessarily using him the right way, but at the same time, he was still getting his yardage.
Yes. And he was...
And then we get to fourth string is Michelle.
I think it's probably 3A and 3B, Sony.
Well, but still.
Sony.
Regardless, one of the rookies wanted to get him some touches.
18 years old.
He had some pretty explosive things, but, I mean, you got to look at Gurley Part 2. Chubbs from nearby Cedartown. You know, shout out to those guys for listening to us. It was funny because the announcer said, yeah, the coaches say this Chubbs kid, because he was just standing on the side, like, oh, Chubbs is coming in. They say that he's hard to tackle and that he's real explosive in practice. The first thing he does is break about 8 tackles, manhandle 3 different people, and then fall forward for about a 17-yard gain.
Oh,
like,
his helmet came off?
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, he more than broke tackles.
Yes, he is.
After a while, it's like trying to, it's like asking a defender to block Marshawn Lynch for the Seahawks. People don't want to step in front of him.
And he's got hands, too.
Yes.
Sony contributed in the passing game as well, because the passing game wasn't necessarily clicking. And I'm really not trying to turn this into a Georgia review, but the passing game wasn't really clicking.
Right. But it didn't need to at that point.
Yeah, it was. I don't want to use the word convenient.
Yeah.
But they did it when it was necessary. They didn't push the ball down the field because, you know, why take it out of Three's hands, even though they took it out of Three's hands in the first half.
Yeah, true.
McKenzie almost got his punt return touchdown.
He was close.
Not sure if you noticed. That was close.
Yeah.
He had some catches. The 18-year-olds, they really came to play. And one of the turning points in the game was when they called that personal foul on Lorenzo Carter.
Yeah.
That was a cheap flag.
It was.
Of course, I'm a fan, so I'm gonna say it's even cheaper. But Lorenzo was still out there making plays. These 18-year-olds, they're not messing around.
Oh, no, they're not.
I mean, they're there to play, and... okay, so nonetheless...
Well, yeah, I was about to say, to make this all full circle...
Georgia.
Is it a blowout, or is South Carolina going to bring a game to them?
35-24.
I think that's about roundabout.
Yeah.
It'll probably worth looking. Yeah, it'll be a back-and-forth game. It'll be very much like Georgia-Clemson is,
yes.
And then suddenly they'll break from the back.
Yes, I believe that as well, and part of what puts me on that path is Davis with his ribs. I mean, who knows?
It's
Davis
true.
With his ankles.
True.
Davis with his ribs. I mean, he's their best offensive weapon. Now, Farrow's, he's doing it too.
They still have the playmakers that they could make this happen, but I just don't see it happen right now.
No. And defensively... I mean, they're already scrapping everything.
Yeah.
So I mean.
Well, and last thing before we get out of here, we'll quick pick the other SEC game. Who do you like, Kentucky or Florida?
Florida.
I want to say Florida, and I'm going to get hounded so much.
Where are they at?
They are in Florida.
Oh, Florida.
You know what? I'm going to say Kentucky's going to pull this. And it's not necessarily an upset, but it kind of is because Kentucky's technically not.
That'd be an upset. I'd like to see the last time they won in Florida.
I think the stat guy's asleep, so we'll have to look that one up.
Well, I'd like to see it. I'm not gonna.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not gonna get to see that day. Maybe next week we'll have that one for you.
I'll take Oklahoma. Whatever points it is, give them. Oklahoma will beat Tennessee. That's not really saying anything. Not making any breaking news right there.
But
Alabama.
As far as our official picks. We both got Georgia over South Carolina.
Yeah.
I've got Kentucky in the swamp with the win, and you've got Florida chomping down on some Wildcats.
Oh, they'll cover.
Oh, I'm sure they'll cover. I don't know what spread is yet. I haven't seen the sheet.
No, neither have I.
But anything else you want to add?
Alabama over Southern Miss.
We know that.
Arkansas going down to Texas Tech.
Mississippi State's going to win over South Alabama. LSU over Monroe. Texas A&M over Rice. Pretty much the SEC is going to rake this week, except for the two matchups that go against each other.
Oh, no. Is that Vandy in Massachusetts?
It is.
I'll take Massachusetts.
You taking UMass?
I think they're a little bit stronger than Temple. Temple won by 30 in Vandy.
You know what? Just for the sake of Vandy, I got your back. I'm taking Vandy in that one. Just to do it. And if that pans out, I would probably cartwheel all the way here.
If that coach didn't destroy that quarterback's confidence, I would take
the
belt. But.
And then Texas Tech will probably beat Arkansas.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a ball.
And Missouri's going to roll over UCF. Right. Even though UCF is still a good program, they're building a good system there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they don't have Royals anymore, but they're probably the second best team in the state.
It's possible. very possible.
Oh, I put them above Miami.
You think Miami's better than Florida?
Well, I'm just going 1 and 2. Miami's not better than Florida. Miami's bad.
Well, I mean, we know clearly that FSU would be.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying. Is if you had them in second, then.
No. Florida is better than Miami. Miami is the worst. FSU's up there for now. I guess we have to wait on the FSU Notre Dame game.
I guess we do.
But God, dear grief. Remember, that used to matter.
It used to. Now I'm not sure.
Well, what's going to matter this year, which is a damn shame.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to. That's what they're. I mean, I know Notre Dame has Stanford and USC that they have to handle.
Ouch.
Yeah. And FSU.
But they're not in the conference, so I don't see them in the playoffs.
But they're ACC heavy.
They are.
I don't blame them. If I could choose anything to be heavy on.
Maybe Conference USA would have been a better shot. But
hold on,
I don't know. They're pretty strong this year. But that's going to do it for us this week. Any parting words?
Twitter, @ChiefAhab, 2 E's. Yours is?
@TheImpact99. If you want to catch all the show-related stuff, @3EndZone.
Yes.
If you want to send us an email, 3endzone@gmail.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter.
Feedback.
Love to hear from you. If we bash your team and you think we're idiots, let us know.
I'll bash them again next time.
But I
back it up with facts.
Exactly. If we praised your team and you still think we're on crack, tell us.
Hey.
Regardless, we'd love to hear from you. We're going to hopefully start doing a couple remotes later on down the road. We're working those out, and love to see some of you guys. Come talk SEC with us.
Hey, thanks for listening.
And good night, Alice.